Good morning to Jason Cairns joining us for First Thoughts. Best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Halvo. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Looks like maybe we're going to get some kind of a crazy weather ride where it's going to warm up overnight tonight, and then it's going to drop down during the day tomorrow, and it looks like maybe we could get around an inch or so Wednesday into Thursday. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess I'm glad I'm not traveling then.
Yeah. There you go.
If there's something positive to see in it, I guess I'll say that.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how effective, but yeah, it's going to get cold. It's going to get down just above zero for Wednesday night. So Luke 22, kind of interesting. I said to you off air, and you're agreeing that, I mean, this feels like Easter passage, not a Christmas passage, Luke 22.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, kind of reading through the whole sweep of Luke. I mean, you start with Christmas and you end with Easter, you know, and the Ascension. And I was a friend of mine, who used to live in Eau Claire, Leanne Gumalowskis, had mailed me a book called Praying the Stations of the Cross, which, of course, is of a Good Friday book. And I read it, I think, last month, which was an odd time coming up to Easter. But, you know, I think the whole story of Jesus is relevant every month of the year.
Leanne is also a friend of mine. She led the missions trip to Mexico we went on in 2000. And it's interesting, just a quick side note, her maiden name is Smith. So imagine going from Smith to Gumalowskis, which you said very well, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought she was a friend of yours, and I wasn't sure. But I wasn't sure about that.
So, it's funny that we ended up doing as much missions as we did, because Greg and Kathy Smith and their kids and all the work to missions to Mexico, but even all over the world, really. Great family. And I was a single guy in the 90s when we had a fire at our house. I stayed with the Smiths for probably longer than they wished I would have. So anyhow, yes, true story. All right. Hey, Luke 22, several things standing out, but one of those early on in verse 3 to me when it says, then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. And then later it talks about Jesus is like, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have all of you to sift you like wheat. During Christmas, I mean, a lot of people get attention. I mean, baby Jesus, Santa Claus, and everything in between. But Satan doesn't get a lot of attention. And I know we talked about this being an Easter passage, but wow, I mean, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John 3:8. Like, he's a character who so often gets forgotten. And I'll just close with this. Like C.S. Lewis says in the Screwtape Letters, right? The letter between one demon to another. And he's just like, the big mistakes we make with the devil, not, you know, give him too much attention or not enough, right?
So. Right, exactly. You know, and I think that's, when we think about that, you know, Jesus came to destroy evil. And that's, we can't forget that there is evil. And I think 2020, at least for me, has made it evident that there is still a lot of evil in the world, and in me, quite honestly. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of things where I'm recognizing my own brokenness. And I think that has been more evident this year.
I hear you.
So for me, I went much later in the passage, verse 61. So after the rooster crows, it says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And I was thinking about that this morning in light of what my friend Kurt Thompson had shared about that passage. He said, you know, so often we assume that when Jesus turns and looks at Peter, it's with a look of disgust or disappointment, as I cannot believe that you would actually betray me. And Kurt said, I think we've misunderstood that. I think when Jesus, because he's love, turned and looked at Peter, it was with a look of compassion. And Kurt describes it as he looks at him with a look of, just watch what I'm going to do with the next 5 minutes. You know, and I think that's so much more hopeful to me as someone who feels like I disappoint Jesus every day. To view him as compassionate rather than disgusted.
And maybe kind of leaning into Calvinism a little bit about the, you know, total depravity. I mean, the sense that maybe Jesus, again, lovingly looking, but saying, Peter, you have no idea. You have no idea what you're not capable, what you are capable of, and what you're not strong enough to do. But Jesus,
you know,
is the strong
one. And that was Peter was, I'm able to do this, right? You know, mm-hmm. God, I'll go, I'll die with you. I'll, you know, and he says it earlier in Luke 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, yeah, no.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something all of us have to realize.
Your favorite Christmas song is Oh Holy Night. I'm about to play the rendition from Harvest. Jerry Williams and Ed Carr, back in the day, they had multiple concerts here in the Chippewa Valley. Briefly, your favorite song because?
I love it lyrically. I think I fell in love with it because of the Mannheim Steamroller version, which has big dynamic movement. So, yeah.
Well, I hope you get a chance to listen to this one, too. So thanks, Jason.
Right. Very good. Thank you.
So Christmas traditions, our question for you this morning, 715-396-1670. We heard from a couple of folks already.
Don't be shy. I think we are trying to incentivize you as well, too.
Yeah.
We're not above bribing.
If you're, especially if you're listening on the outskirts, you know, La Crosse, Wausau, Marshfield, one of our translators, we've got Christmas music downloads, which are very good. I mean, top quality is new Christmas music from the very talented Francesca Battistelli and For King and Country. But, hey, CDs of Danny Gokey or variety artists for people to pick up are more in the Chippewa Valley.
Yeah, more downloads, too, from Sidewalk Prophets, Mallory Hope, or We Are Messengers, their full album. So, again, we can get that to you wherever you are. So we just love to hear from you at 715-396-1670. What's a usual Christmas tradition that either you grew up with or maybe your family still enjoys today?
I so admire your family. I can't wait to have you share yours. For mine, it certainly has become, I love telling this story, and apologies if people heard it, but I think it's really cool that my wife has had Christmas Eve at the same house her whole life, except for the 2 years we were in Liberia, 2016 and 2017, which is really pretty rare these days, right? Because people are upsizing, but her folks had kind of done the remodeling of the house and expanded it, and so they've stayed there, and so her whole life. And so that's a big tradition that every year there's no questions, there's no discussion. We know where we're going for Christmas Eve. And so even this year, it's like getting there midday, enjoying a meal, having some fun, you know, games, what have you, gifts. And so it extends on for a number of hours. So that's the big tradition for us.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of like how many different ones we have.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the simple things that I do treasure and have taken on into my family, and then looking back, seeing how my grandpa influences my dad and all that too, this legacy. Because growing up, we'd always read, before opening presents, always read Luke 2, the Christmas story. And so that's something that I've carried on with my children as well, too. In fact, we're reading through the book of Luke, the 24 chapters and 24 days in December. So that's been a real blessing. But a tradition that's kind of been started recently that I've noticed at my grandparents in Iowa is my grandpa Elliot gathers the family, the patriarch of our family, and gives a gospel message to the family, not just reading the Christmas story, but takes 5-6 minutes and gives a true gospel message. And I love that, not only because those of us who know Jesus need to hear this, tell me the old story, tell me it to me again and again, but also, I mean, there always could be family that we don't know exactly where they stand with the Lord. And so I love the boldness of my grandpa, his late 80s now, saying, you know what, it's important that I, as the patriarch of this family, give that gospel message each and every Christmas. And then real quick, one kind of fun tradition as a kid that I don't do anymore because I'm old now and usually stay up late, wrapping presents and want to sleep. But as a kid, I would always try to be the very first person out of bed because we never had any presents under the tree until Christmas morning. And that's something that I love. I like it when there's nothing there and then they all appear on Christmas morning. Uh-huh. And so I would, as quietly as possible, sometimes it would take me like 5 minutes just to get out of bed because I didn't want anyone else in the room to wake up that I shared with my brothers. And so I would slowly like eke my toe out from underneath the covers because I want to be the first one to be out there, not to touch the presents, not to open them, but I just like taking a blanket out with me and basking in the glow of that Christmas tree with the lights and all the presents that had suddenly appeared under it and just drinking all of that in. And that's what I will always, always remember for Christmas, is just that stillness Christmas morning in the lights. I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
For a lot of kids, they see the presents and they're like, Mom and Dad, it's 4:30, but you gotta get up. You gotta get up. It's Christmas morning. Rich Mullins, WWIB. Here's another tradition this morning.
Christmas tradition goes back many generations. It used to be a lighted Christmas tree with candles, real candles in the old days. But we've always had a Christmas program where the kids would make out a little list of the carols we'd sing and the Christmas story. And my dad would read this story called Snippen's Dilemma, which is just a delightful tale from Norway. But anyway, I am so excited because this year we have an expanded version. Everything is virtual for our family for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we are going to have extended family participate in this Christmas program on Zoom. It'll be 43 members of our family.
Wow.
And my little six-year-old granddaughter is going to play on the piano, Jingle Bells. And so it's one way that I feel excited about Christmas, even though it'll be virtual this year. So I hope other families will be able to make use of technology.
Absolutely. Thank you. Randy and Eau Claire with that Christmas
tradition. 43 family members Zoom call.
It.
That sounds fun. It's like you just wish you could be a little fly on the wall because it's like, I bet, you know, yes, it's far apart, but I just can't imagine the joy of seeing everyone like that and a little six-year-old playing Jingle Bells. It just warms the heart. I love it. Well, here's a survey for your children this morning. Don't know if they're up yet. Curious what they would be willing to do. What would they be willing to do if they would receive everything on their Christmas list? Now, it probably varies from kid to kid because you probably do have, if you have more than one child, like we do in our families, you probably have one kid who'd just be like, I just want everyone else to be happy. But then you have the other kid who seriously will write down a like six-page single-spaced list of everything that they would like. So kids were asked, what would they do in order to get everything on their Christmas list? And nearly 7 in 10 kids, 70% of kids said, I'd clean my room every day for a year if I got everything on my Christmas list.
Wow, that's incentive for the parents, too, because that would be nice.
23% of kids said, I'd eat spinach for a year to get my holiday toys.
Wow, I'm a little skeptical about that one.
I don't mind spinach at all, really.
Really? Okay.
I think I'd rather eat spinach, but I don't know if you have to eat it every day. I'm not sure.
A little old.
Also, parents, cover your children's ears for a moment. The survey went on and said that the most persuasive technique a child can use to get the gift that he or she wants for Christmas, nagging. Again, earmuffs. Apparently, this survey then of parents said the top response is, yeah, if the child just asks and asks and asks for something, I usually end up getting
it. So what doesn't work for wives works for kids?
I don't want to. These feel like murky waters that I don't want to tread too far into.
This is the parable of the persistent widow come to life, right?
Right. We just read that in Luke the other day, too. So, but yeah, the most popular response, tell mom or dad over and over and over and over again. And eventually it gets through.
Caleb, that's radio advertising.
Well, and here's the thing. It's very effective. And I will say the oldest child in our household telling us about something that she wanted since at least September.
Okay.
At least September. And, that did end up getting purchased.
There you go.
So
Wow.
She knows how to work it.
There you go. Interesting stuff. Hey, favorite Christmas tradition. Did you have one more Christmas tradition that from your family that you wanted to share this morning? I didn't know. I thought you were thinking of something.
I did, and then I lost it promptly again.
If it
so
pops up
I will
again.
Try and think of it.
If it pops up. We'd love to hear from the listeners. For female listeners, Sherry and Lauren and Randy and Jeannie have all won Christmas music. And Bob and Rice Lake, because he reminded me, Mabel Louise, 98 years
yes.
old today. So 98 years young, wonderful woman of God. She is doing amazing for 98.
It's incredible. And look for a Facebook post around 11 o'clock on our WWIB Radio Facebook page wishing Mabel a happy birthday. What we'd love for you to do today is to leave your happy birthday comments for Mabel. And again, we'll go old-fashioned. We'll print it out, and we will make sure she sees every single one of those if you get it in today.
WWIB, we've been inviting your calls throughout the morning at 715-396-1670 for people to share Christmas traditions. And Caleb, you thought of a couple more?
Yeah, so a couple things. I always love wrapping Christmas presents on whatever is the eve of our family Christmas. We're celebrating Christmas Eve morning this year, so the eve before, wrapping presents for sometimes hours on end, it seems like, but listening to Christmas music, usually just take the laptop and pull it into a different room and listen to Christmas music. And another thing that I like doing is so often I found that I'm very goal-driven when it comes to shopping, grocery shopping or whatever. I want my list. I want to know exactly where everything is and get in and get out. But usually one day, and Lord willing, be able to do that tomorrow night, I just take some time to get some little stocking stuffers for my kids. But I just go to the store and just shop without an agenda and without a timer on it. Because so often it's like, where's the next place I need to be? And so it's just kind of a peace-filled shopping trip when always I'm so driven about, got to get here, and got to move on, to just take some time and just kind of browse and shop. I'm not really a shopping person, but I just kind of drink it all in, and the business and hustle and bustle this season. So that's something that I'm looking forward to this week.
You like a good deal. I know that, though.
I do, yes, indeed.
Shopping. You know, and another thing I just encourage people, I mean, I think thinking of other traditions for us, the Halverson family, I mean, it is, my wife and I have both commented, there's so many memories about when they were young. You have three kids, 10 and under, and that's a great time. But as they get older, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, we've got five between 15 and 20, you love them where they're at, and yet it's different. And I think there's, I've enjoyed like playing some board games, or maybe get out some family DVDs of, you know, cultivating and enjoying some of those memories. And I see this stat here that on Christmas Day, a survey finds the average person will spend over 4 hours looking at screens, an hour or two on phones, computers, watching TV. Now, I'd like to watch the Bucks Golden State game on Christmas afternoon. But maybe some game playing, too, you know, like a board game. And again, some people doing it interactively, maybe virtually, whatever you might. But get some of that FaceTime, because the thing is, the days can go by. My daughters and I will close with this. In September, Peggy was wrapping up that latest trip to Liberia. And Grace and Elena and I shared some board games. And it was really good. We all agreed, like, and I remember Grace had said, hey, we should do that. Try to do that once a week. I don't think we've done it since then.
Really?
So time can escape you, you know, and it can just, everything can kind of get it, because life's so busy and you're always going this direction and that. So.